Sam, keeping it true, watching old movies so you don't have to. With the benefit of hindsight, we'll see where the movies truly awful, or did they change history? Good evening. And welcome back to the Benefit of Hindsight podcast, the movie podcast in which a father and son talk about movies that they watched together long ago.
We give each movie a memory score, and then we watch the movie to see whether or not it's better or worse than we remember. And then we score the movie again.
With me, as ever, is my son, Sam. Good evening, Sam.
Good evening, Dad. How are you doing?
Yeah, I'm good, actually. Nice and relaxed, I think is a good word. When we did this last week, I was preparing to relax, and now I am a bit relaxed. Good. So that's always a good thing. How about you?
Yeah, I'm okay. Less relaxed.
Less relaxed, yeah. Well, nevertheless, it's good to have you here. Hey, do you have an anecdote this week?
No.
Oh.
I went back to work this week.
Ah, oh, so. Well, that is going to do it for you, isn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah.
Oh, well. Hey, should we move on to our listener question?
Yes, please.
Okay. This question comes from Robert, and Robert is in Chelsea in London, I believe. Ooh. That's where the football team comes from, so that would be it. And Robert has a very good question for us, actually, in light of the thing that we're about to do. Robert asks very simply, because we're doing B-movie, an animal movie, insect, but we'll allow it. What, in our opinion, is the greatest movie animal?
Gromit. We always have the most obvious answer.
No, I think it's probably right there, because I'd had a good think, and I was sort of trying to think of what it might be. But actually, I think that's it. Is there a better movie animal than Gromit?
My second answer would probably be Rocket Raccoon in Guardians of the Galaxy.
Yeah, also a good one. I was thinking of the big dog-like creature from Neverending Story.
Yeah.
Which I don't remember what it's called.
Trevor.
Trevor, the big dog-like creature from the Neverending Story. Actually, I think it might be Trevor, actually. I think you remembered that correctly.
Maybe that's the actor's name. The dog that played.
No, definitely. No, I'm pretty sure it's I'm pretty sure the actor's name is Falcor.
Ah, that's right.
And
yeah.
And then the dog's name is Trevor.
That's the one.
Yeah. But also, I suppose you've got things like Mickey Mouse. Does that count?
I suppose
that's a pretty big movie animal.
Yeah.
None of these are better than Gromit, though, are they?
No, Gromit takes the cake.
He does. Yeah. And the cheese.
That's true. And the marrow.
Is it not a melon?
Absolutely not.
Okay, it's a marrow. You're right, I forget. Should we land on Gromit then, being our answer?
Yeah, I think we should.
I don't know why I use such awkward English there. Gromit is being my answer. Oh, I don't know where that came from. Okay then, so Robert in Chelsea in London, in the opinion of me and Sam, the greatest movie animal of all time is Gromit. If you disagree or you agree, do let us know. And of course, if you have any more listener questions, please do drop us an email at thebenefitofhindsightpodcast@gmail.com. Anyway, Sam and I have been away, and we have watched the 2007 classic B-movie, which, from memory, I gave a score of 6. What did you give it, Sam?
I also gave it a 6. We were even with this one, yeah.
And do you think your score will change?
Maybe.
Okay, that's interesting. That's a little bit unclear, but okay, let's see. So let's start where we always start. What did you make of the voice cast in this movie?
I think it's one of those voice casts that's kind of in everything, but Jerry Seinfeld is perfect. And I think I can't see or hear anybody else play that role, because it just had to be him, didn't it? I didn't realize it was Renee Zellweger, but I also don't know who that is. because I thought I recognized the voice and was waiting for the credits, and when I saw it, I didn't know who it was.
Renée Zellweger, Bridget Jones' Diary,
Ah, okay.
famously, blonde American. Although, interestingly enough, in that movie, she's doing a British accent. But yeah,
Yeah.
quite well known. Yeah, I think the Jerry Seinfeld thing works pretty well. He was huge throughout the 90s with his sitcom Seinfeld, and then I guess his star dwindled a bit after that ended. But I
Yeah.
think this was a bit of a, I wouldn't call it a comeback as such, but he was essentially doing as Barry B. Benson what he had been doing in his very successful sitcom.
Yeah.
Nevertheless, I agree he was very, very
There's
good.
a few lines that I sort of picked up on and the notes of how he delivered it as well. Also, I don't know if it's possible to really like someone's voice, but Matthew Broderick has a great voice for animation.
Yeah, he does. I thought that. And sometimes, maybe you get this, sometimes when you watch these animated movies with actors who you know, you often can't connect the voice and the thing that you're seeing on screen.
Yeah.
Sometimes you think, well, I know that was Matthew Broderick, but it didn't sound like him. But it did. And I thought was really good. A very good character he's playing as well.
John Goodman as well. Classic bit of Sully. I love his voice. I love his the him as an actor. That sounds weird. But I saw him in an interview the other day for a film that I think he's recently been in. He's looking old now, and it makes me worried that we're not going to get a Monsters, Inc. sequel, which is slightly selfish, but he is looking old now.
Yeah, that is a thing, isn't it? When
Yeah.
slightly off topic, when the people that you admire and love and enjoy, they just, if you say they get old, I don't mean that, but you just there's, I like a particular band of which the guitar player is now 78 years old, and
Yeah.
you just think it can't go on forever. It is really sad.
It is, yeah. I think he's just like, he's the voice of Sully to me. So it's just, it'll be sad. Is all I'll say on that, yeah.
He's very good in this, though. I
Yeah.
mean, I think his turn as the evil lawyer is very good. And again, you can totally tell it's John Goodman,
Yeah.
but he's doing something else.
And Patrick Warburton delivering the perfect example of how to play Patrick Warburton.
Absolutely,
I
yeah. No,
can't fault them for it though, because it's
no.
the way he is. It's a perfect character for him.
It is, and he was, of course, in Seinfeld as
Oh,
well.
I didn't know
So
that.
that's a yeah. He does a bit of a connection between him and Jerry Seinfeld there. There's a long list of cameos in this,
Yeah.
isn't there? So you get Chris Rock, Kathy Bates, Barry Levinson, Rip Torn, Oprah Winfrey, Larry King, and almost sort of goes on. But my absolute favorite one has to be Ray Liotta.
Yeah. I'm just looking at the picture on IMDb at the same time, and it's basically the same picture as the honey bottle.
It's hilarious. It's so funny. Sting does a good turn as
Yeah.
well. Sting's in it briefly as
I used
well.
to know someone who's related to Sting, actually.
Really?
Yeah.
So it is a good cast, and I think they're working with quite decent material as well.
Yeah. I think that's always a plus, yeah. Yeah, I think this goes down as one of the most classic scripts. That's a weird way to put that. I think this goes down as one of the best classical scripts for a film, but I also think it's more commonly known because this movie's a giant meme, and I feel like I should get into this point later on. But really, when this came out in 2007, it was just another animated movie from DreamWorks. But then over the more recent years, I would say, it's just become this huge internet joke to the point where there's videos out there where the movie will speed up every time someone says the word B, and you can just watch that on YouTube. I think it's been transcoded as a script, whatever that means. But it's just a huge meme. But if you go back to it, obviously being benefit of hindsight, in 2007, and even to this day, without that lens, is it's a great script. The jokes are perfect. I mean, sometimes they're a little on the nose, but it's perfectly written. It's almost like George of the Jungle, where it hits every note. Almost like it.
Almost, but not quite.
Yeah.
But I agree with that. I checked out the video on YouTube genuinely, and it's actually hilarious. So you can watch the whole movie in 7 minutes. It just gets quicker and quicker and quicker. But you're right, it has become a bit of a thing, hasn't it? I've read that, where because of the internet and memes and things, it's become a bit of a kind of cult sleeper hit. What's interesting about that as well is how many of the movies that we have watched, which possibly underappreciated in their time, have gone on to become much bigger hits on reflection
It
afterwards.
seems to be a bit of a pattern with DreamWorks, to be honest, because I know Shrek and subsequent Shrek and others. I have to
Try
try.
again.
Shrek and subsequent sequels. I don't know. I can't really remember if they were very popular back then. They must have been in some way, but nowadays it's a bit of a joke. You have to watch it because it's a joke, but it is good material, and I think a lot of people go back to it and think, "Oh, actually, this is quite good." Yeah, it's funny because of the internet. But it's good. It's a bit like the Star Wars prequels in a way, that people can just go and watch them for the memes now, and still enjoy them.
Well, I think that's true as well, and I think nostalgia plays a big part in some of this stuff as well. Like particularly the Star Wars prequels, as a good example. They're not particularly amazing movies, but they've been so heavily memed. They're now so well known that even if you had never seen them before, you could go and watch them and probably just enjoy them. I think if you remove the hype, you actually end up with something that's pretty good. This movie as well, I also think, came out in the golden age of animated movies. It's DreamWorks and Pixar are absolutely leading the way on this. And I genuinely think this is an era of animated movies that will never return.
Yeah, I see that as well. I mean, Pixar are trying to keep it there, but not doing very well. But yeah, it definitely, I agree with that, but it's not in the sense of I was a kid back then, so it was targeted towards me. Because I think even now you can recognize it as an adult that these have good values and they are good movies. And it was the height of it back then, as you just said.
It was. And the other thing that these movies and Pixar do very well is make a kid's movie that an adult would be perfectly happy to go and watch. So there's plenty of good jokes for adults. For example, at the end of this movie, when Chris Rock as the mosquito says, "Hey, I'm a blood-sucking parasite, why not be a lawyer?" That's probably not going to land for a 10-year-old, but it's definitely going to land for the adult in the room watching the movie with the 10-year-old. And then there's all these sort of in jokes. And the thing I, when I watched this movie the first time, and the thing that I've got back with the benefit of hindsight, was I thought it was a bit, I think weird is too strong a word, but this relationship that developed between the bee and the human. And I remember thinking at the time watching it, it's a bee that sort of has fallen in love with a human, and that might have been slightly reciprocated. But then watching it again, I did not get that this time.
I think a lot of it is overlooked, that weird relationship. It's just reminded as a point I did want to make though, that when they have that love montage and she dies in a plane crash, that's hilarious.
It's very funny. It's actually, yeah, it's really funny. And there are some really good moments and funny bits in this as well. And some of the kind of even the things like the adult relationships are interesting. Her relationship with the doll yogurt guy is actually very funny and things like that. So a lot going on in this movie.
It's weird because if you think about it, a cartoon movie about bees or an animated movie about bees, and all of a sudden they're in a courtroom dealing with a very legal matter in it's like a something a kid wouldn't pick. Like they wouldn't choose to watch a movie like a court-based drama about honey, but it works so well to the point where one of the witnesses is a bear or some. I don't think it's a witness, and it just attacks. And as soon as it's like, okay, it's all good, it just calms down, it's normal. But that works for an adult and a kid.
I agree absolutely, and I also love the fact that nobody ever, for a moment, challenges the fact that suddenly insects can speak. So in the courtroom, you've got humans on one side and all the bees on the other side, and at no point in the context of the movie, really, apart from the "oh, we're going to wait to see if a bee can speak," Does then that become a thing? It's just, okay, yeah, bees can speak. Moving on.
It was very much like that at the end, where all of a sudden the cow could speak. And it's like, oh, okay, everything speaks. It's perfectly fine now.
That's also a very good joke as well, by the
Yeah.
way. The cow, yeah. I just feel like a piece of meat. Yeah. But then I did think about that, and this is not off topic as such, but I just thought if there was an opportunity for animals to stand up to humans and say, well, just hang on a second. You just those cases, whatever, those trials, they're just going to go on forever.
Yeah.
We're not particularly nice to animals.
No, that's a good point. Yeah. Not to completely change the subject of the podcast. Yeah. That's a different podcast.
But I think there is that important kind of moral message that runs through the heart of this movie about, you know, bees are important, bees are essential, is the kind of industrial level of farming that we do an appropriate thing?
Yeah, it's interesting because if you did put this in the perspective of a cow or a pig instead, you'd probably have turned a lot of kids into vegetarians. But because it's bees, I think it overlooks that point a little bit.
There probably is out there a movie pitch,
Yeah.
in a boardroom somewhere where someone says, "Okay, I've got an idea for a movie. It's about pigs. And what the pigs do is they have a court case, and then they win." And someone's gone, "Like, it's a great idea. I really like it. But pigs, you know, that's people like bacon and sausages. What's something else? I don't know. Bees and honey. Perfect. Okay, go and make that movie."
It's like, I don't know if you've heard of it, but this also became a meme where there was a movie about turkeys where they go back in time to the first Thanksgiving to stop them from having turkeys at Thanksgiving, and that's the premise of the whole movie.
I'd love to see
I
that
think
movie.
it
I haven't seen
flopped.
it.
But it just became a meme.
I definitely have to go and see that movie. So I think there are some good themes running through here: friendship, love, people working together. So that's an, it's a really well-told story and a really, really good plot, I think.
Yeah.
So maybe the only minor criticism that I would have is just how much story and plot there is. There's if like all of these films, it felt maybe 10, 15 minutes too long. You could kind of cut the stuff with the plane out, for example. It's good
Yeah.
fun and I like it.
That's true. I do think to begin with, if you don't know what you're going for, you're clearly going for a love story between a bee and a woman, and then it just completely changes. So it is a bit all over the place, and it's like it almost doesn't have a solid story to begin with.
No.
Yeah.
I suppose the joke is bees can't fly.
Yeah.
And then they do, they land a plane. Great. Okay. And I liked it. It's a good bit of excitement at the end because I suppose the climax of winning a court case is not children's film climax. But this is just my reflection. Other people might love that. But I just thought, you could have gone a different way, but what do I know?
One thing that I did notice about this, and I feel like it's important for a animated film, the sound design was actually really good, and I really liked the way it sort of blended with the real world and also made sense in reality. And because there's not really much to say other than I really liked it, I think the music for this film, perfect, works great, but it's weirdly toned down. It's almost as if the big thematic musical moments are slightly quieter and sort of, I don't want to say in a different room, but you get that sense that it's not. I'm thinking of How to Train Your Dragon, which is a movie we'll have to watch on the podcast, where you're flying with the dragons and you get this huge music and it becomes popular and you can hear it, it's blaring out the speakers, that's it. B movie, on the other hand, that music's there, but it's not blaring at you. I don't know if you got that.
Yeah, I did a little bit, and I definitely noticed the music, and I thought it was a good soundtrack. But I agree with you. I was sort of thinking it was a bit muted, if that's the right word.
Yeah.
It's doing its thing. I think that the some of the song choices maybe slightly overpower the actual just soundtrack movie. So at the end, when they finish with a cover version of "Here Comes the Sun," because presumably they couldn't afford the original one. That overpowers anything that then comes next.
Yeah. I don't know if this is a controversial opinion, but I think Here Comes the Sun is the song equivalent of Wizard of Oz for me. I don't know if
Interesting.
anyone will know what that means, but it's just it's a good song to some people. I don't get it. I don't like it. So when it came up in this film, I was a bit disappointed.
I'm gonna be on the fence about that one because I do quite like the Beatles. I do get the
Yeah.
Beatles, and there's some stuff they did that's just extraordinarily good. But I don't get the love for Here Comes the Sun.
Yeah, that's I'll agree with that.
Do you know the connection with Gromit from this movie?
Oh, possibly.
Well, it's about the music. The gentleman, Rupert Gregson-Williams, who did the music for this movie, also did the soundtrack for Wallace and Gromit: The Curse of the Were-Rabbit,
Okay, cool.
and many other movies as well. And sort of his movies get more serious
Right.
as they kind of go. So well, and more serious is probably not fair, but I mean he did Hacksaw Ridge, Wonder
Yeah.
Woman, Aquaman. He kind of keeps going. So he starts, doing, things like, well, B movie, frankly, Over the Hedge.
Yeah.
But he's done an awful lot, and he's very well respected. And he's done an awful lot of movies in different genres. So he'll do a cartoon, then a superhero movie, then a serious drama movie. That's really good. Yeah,
Yeah.
I liked it.
Just to jump in on that about a bit of trivia. This movie was originally going to have Michael Giacchino to compose the score, and here's the classic connection. But he turned it down because of his work on Cloverfield and Speed Racer. What, everything
There you
always links
go.
back to Cloverfield.
Well, as does John Goodman, who is, of course, in
Yeah.
10 Cloverfield Lane. So yeah, we could do that game, 6 Degrees of Cloverfield,
Yeah.
where everything that's ever been in the world can trace itself back to Cloverfield.
Nice.
There's one for the listeners out there.
Yeah.
Okay, King Charles III to Cloverfield in the fewest possible steps. If you think you can do that, drop us a line. BenefitFindsightPodcast@gmail.com, King Charles, and the person who gets the fewest steps will get a shout out on the
Oh, gonna
podcast.
be another T-shirt one.
Can't afford to make another T-shirt.
All that money's
I
going to
just
Otterfest.
exactly.
Yeah.
They'll just get a name check. Hey, do you know what you'd like to know the box office and things for this movie? Let's see.
I feel like it might have done quite well.
Well, it had a budget of $150 million, and it made 293.5.
Oh, okay.
So it didn't make an awful lot
Yeah.
of money. It kind of doubled its money a bit, and yeah, it did okay. And it wasn't particularly well received either. It wasn't
Oh, okay.
wasn't a massive hit. Quite a lot of people kind of were fairly negative about it.
Right.
Would you like to know how many awards it won?
All of them.
It did. It won all of them. Yeah. Everything. You name it. It's in there. I was gonna read all the Oscars out, but would have been here all night. It was nominated for lots and lots of awards in the Annies and things like that. And it was nominated for Kids' Choice Awards.
Cool.
It was nominated for Golden Globe for Best Animated Film, Critics' Choice for Best Animated Film, but it didn't win any of them.
Oh, that's a shame.
It is a shame, isn't
It
it?
did win my
Yeah, because
heart,
it's.
though.
Well, I feel like it should have won something.
Yeah.
I'm going to repeat a point, sort of repeat a point, because I mentioned the golden age of animation. But what did you make of the animation?
It's interesting with DreamWorks, and I think I end up putting it down to just their style. But sometimes it looks really cheap, and the animation just quite isn't quite fully there. Sometimes the human movement doesn't quite work, or the facial movement, or even the eyes. And I have always thought it looks like a straight to DVD spin-off of the classic DreamWorks things that you used to get, 5 quid in Asda, that sort of thing. But
Yeah.
it, I'm that's if I think that's their style, then I don't fault it. I think it did quite well, and it brought something that. You know, watching this as a live action, a real bee is not going to be quite as interesting. So it brought that to life quite well, and I did like that. And I liked the sort of world building of the animation, like it was clever in the hive, that sort of thing. So I don't fault it, but sometimes it does look a bit cheap.
Yeah, I think I agree with the DreamWorks style, which is different from Pixar, and I suspect deliberately so. But I think it was a really nice love letter to New York, which is famously where Jerry Seinfeld is from, famously where the sitcom was set. And I think all the stuff in New York, they weren't pretending it was somewhere else, Central Park and the view under the bridge and the high buildings and stuff. I thought that was nice and built quite nicely. But I also thought the stuff in the hive was really good as well. Hey, do you have any controversial opinions about this movie?
I didn't think I did, but I do, apart from the one that I've already mentioned. This
Okay.
is gonna stay in. Well, I don't know.
Let's see. So, if you're a new listener to the podcast, we have our little segment. It's called Controversial Opinions. Sam will give me a controversial opinion. If you hear it, I've allowed it. If you don't hear it, it's because it's so controversial, our podcast would be cancelled. There you go. So, here is Sam's first controversial opinion. Will you hear it? Yes or no?
This is better than Shrek.
Oh yeah, I'm going to keep that in because I think it might be true.
I don't know. I feel like Shrek gets overhyped now.
Well, I think Shrek landed differently. We'll have to do Shrek. No, we don't have to do Shrek. We have to do some of the sequels, but not the first one.
Do we?
We must have seen some of the Shrek sequels
I
together.
think we did, but we definitely not seen the first one in the cinema.
I think we probably did. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. You would have been very, very small.
Still am.
Would be, yeah. Okay. Very, very
Thank you.
young. Don't say still am, because you are very young. But it's all relative. So yeah. But I think it might be better than Shrek. But I think Shrek landed differently because it was before this and had the whole Mike Myers good joke, that kind of thing.
Yeah, true.
Mike Myers was pretty hot at that point as well.
I beg your pardon?
Well, I mean, like,
Sure.
in Hollywood terms. But I think we'll have to be careful here because we're going to score this movie, and somewhere down the line we're going to score Shrek,
True.
and we'll end up contradicting ourselves through inadequate research. But I think I agree this is a better movie than Shrek.
True. Okay.
I think it's also a slightly better movie than A Bug's Life.
Oh, yeah, I'd agree with that one. I probably shouldn't, but
But is it as good as, well, we'll get to the end and we'll discover, but I don't know that I think it's as good as some of the Pixar movies of this time. But again, I think DreamWorks are going for something else. They're going for star vehicles, Shrek, Mike Myers, Jerry Seinfeld, this. They're not doing something else.
True, yeah.
Any other controversial opinions?
So my second opinion, right, and this one might be bad, but we'll see, is
No, that can't go in.
oh, okay.
You can't put that in. I can't even allude to it. I feel bad for the listeners because they're going to think you've said something shockingly bad. He hasn't. There's no reason for a cancellation. But no, that can't go in.
No.
Shame though.
Yeah.
Also, very, very true though.
Yeah, well, maybe.
Well, it felt true when you said it.
It came from the heart, I think. Yeah.
And nobody will ever know.
Exactly.
Exactly. Hey, what about pieces of trivia and out-of-pocket takes? Must also be many of
I got
those.
quite a bit, actually. Yeah. I always say that, and it's never any
Great.
good. As I alluded to earlier, alluded's not the right word. As I mentioned earlier, it was 2016, November 2016, that this movie saw its surge in attention because of the popular videos on YouTube. That had more of a trivia, but I'd already mentioned it, so I was just kind of tidying that one up there.
So 2016,
Yeah, would you believe?
so 9 years after release.
And it's weird that it's still kind of got a craze these days with, and it was 2016.
What were some of the, apart from the one that I've just, that we have mentioned, not just mentioned, which is the 7 minute version of the movie where it gets quicker every time he says the word beer. Very funny. What are some of the things that then I have missed as an older person accessing the internet? That came out wrong.
I think there's a few where it's just in reverse. Or I don't know, because I think this is what sparked a very big trend. of doing this sort of thing. It's not B-movie related, but Fellowship of the Ring. They play, there's a version out there where they play the film up until the point where Sam says, "If I take one more step," and then every time he takes a step, they play that scene again, and that's just the movie that
Wow,
is out there. So it
okay.
kind of sparked that sort of trend. But I think there's one where it's put to music, or it's turned into music, or it's turned into an image. I think the script is just out there, so you can now just read it. I think somebody made it. There's got to be plenty of them, but I can't think of any off the top of my head. I can Google it.
No, it's all good. I liked it. And I think you're probably right. Yeah, it's fascinating how that works sometimes, isn't it? This, I dare to say obscure movie, but it's not a massive hit, is it?
Yeah.
There it is leading the way in internet memes.
The sound effect that's used when one of the pollen jocks opens their helmet is the same as the one used when Buzz Lightyear opens his helmet in Toy Story and its sequels. So it's weird that they share that connection.
Is it exactly the same, i.e., it's lifted from Pixar, or do you think it's just a recreation?
It's weird because I can recognize sound effects somewhere sometimes, and I didn't hear it this time. So it might just be something very similar in actual fact. I don't
Maybe.
know. Yeah.
Interesting. I was going to say it's not really a piece of trivia, and I didn't want to jump in, but we've also not mentioned the fact that the title of the movie is a bit of a joke.
Yeah,
It's a B
that's
movie.
true.
It's actually quite a good joke.
The title of my notes was A Movie. Yeah. Speaking of sound effects, the windshield scene. I don't think I noticed this one. When one of the bugs gets blown away, you can hear a sped up version of the Wilhelm scream. And I feel like there's been a lot of Wilhelm screams in the movies we've watched, but we've never mentioned it.
Yeah, there was a good piece of there was a good slow motion no in this as well, or something like
Yeah,
that.
I love those. So good. I remember my first one.
What was your first one?
I think we'd switched the TV on to CBeebies or something like that, and it was this animated thing about a farmer, and something happened to his cow, and he just went, "No," and it was the funniest thing I've ever heard.
I wonder how many times we've heard the Wilhelm scream in the 50 odd movies that we've done and
Yeah.
have never referenced it
It's
before.
crazy. Yeah. Oh, did you know there's apparently a female version of it as well? That one I wouldn't recognize.
The Wilma scream.
Yeah, is that what it is?
No, I just made that
Okay,
up.
that would make sense though.
Well, plausible sounding though, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Okay, that should be the next thing that we introduce. It's where any no or something, where does it go on the
Yeah.
Wilhelm scale? Oh,
Nice.
we didn't do the animation on the Cavill scale. What is the Cavill scale for the animation of this
Well,
movie?
it's definitely better than the mustache, that's for sure. Actually, they
Definitely
should
better than the
make a meme
mustache.
version of this film where everyone has a mustache. I'd watch that one.
Definitely. I definitely watch that too. I think I'm going to put it as a 7
Yeah.
on the Cavill scale. I think it's pretty
I can
decent
agree with that.
CGI animation. 7, I think, sounds fair enough. Anyway, back to your trivia.
I went looking for something like this, the last piece, because I was curious anyway, because we kind of referenced this a few times. This was the first DreamWorks animation movie to be released on Blu-ray.
Wow.
Yeah.
How interesting. Do you did we is this was this one that we bought? Was this a buyer?
I think it probably was, yeah. We've not had it for years, but yeah, we probably did. Or we rented
I
it.
think it probably was either a rent or a watch. And there's also a video game which I'm not sure about. Whether you have any memory of the video
I
game.
don't actually know.
So definitely not a video game one then, is it?
Yeah, interesting. My out-of-pocket take is that this could be the greatest animated movie of all time. It's an important inflection
Could be the
there.
greatest animated movie of all
You
time,
delivered it better than I did.
but probably isn't, maybe.
Maybe.
I don't know though. It might be.
Yeah, I think there's a chance.
It could well be, yeah.
All I have on my notes now are just lines from the movie that
Well, give me
I
one.
liked.
You choose which is your favorite line from the movie.
The last time I watched this before I watched it for the podcast, I remembered the scene at the end where they need to land on the flower and it goes to the guy in the flower shirt. And I thought that was hilarious. But then I remembered something about keychains. And watching it this time around, that joke is brilliant. Except the keychain guy. I loved it. But the one line that I picked up this time that I wanted to mention was when the reporters are like, "Oh, what are you wearing?" "My sweater is Ralph Lauren and I have no pants."
It was a very good joke. Do you know there were a couple of lawsuits that came out of this movie? Not about honey.
Okay. No, I didn't know.
So there was a group of Swedish animation students who were ultimately represented by an American attorney. They had developed a concept in 2000 for an animated movie called Babylon. They said that it was had significant similarities to B-movie. And there was another one which was bought by it was a case that was bought by a Florida-based cosmetics company called B-Cuticles. Because they had a phrase which was "give bees a chance," which they had trademarked, so you were not allowed to use it.
Right.
And so they sued as well. Which of those lawsuits were successful?
I kind of want to say the cosmetics one, but it could easily be the film one.
No, I mean, that's a sort of a trick question. Neither of them were successful. Presumably because they had Oprah Winfrey as a judge and she had been in the movie. And threw them both out of court. But I'd be interested to see the script for Babylon to see whether or not those things are true. It's like that Ed Sheeran thing, isn't it? Where Ed Sheeran said, I can play you any song on four chords on the guitar. Yeah. So if I write a song, it might sound like another song, but it's still my song.
That's true.
He said. He said whilst performing Hotel California. Ed Sheeran.
The Babylon sounds like one of those films that you'd get as the cheaper version of B-movie, though, that you'd find in Asda.
Yeah, it's the pound shop animated version of this, isn't it?
Like when Brave came out, Babylon. You could find Braver.
It does. It sounds exactly like the cheap knockoff one. Hey, I think I'm ready to go to my score now. How about you?
I am as well. Yeah, I think...
You chose the movie, so you have to go first.
Did I? Oh, yeah, I did.
You did?
Yeah, I think I found this one very funny and clever from the start. And I think it carried on with that all the way through, even though the plot, you know, could probably get there a bit quicker. I like the invention of bees doing things that are very human, like trying to get a job. I know they have jobs, but the way they did it in this movie, and I like the sort of, I like the way it worked. I found it funny. I found it entertaining, even to this day as an adult. And I think it's got some great lines. And I am also a big fan of bees in general. But I don't know what I want to do for my score. I don't know if I want to keep it as a 6 and keep it just the same because that's what I thought, or bump it up to a 7. But I think because of the meme, I'm going to say 10. No. Could easily be a 10 for the memes. I think I'm going to go with 7 and just round it off there nicely because I do enjoy it.
Yeah, I typically we're going to echo quite a lot of the same sentiment. I gave it a 6 because I remember enjoying it. I'm not sure I've seen it in the very, very recent past as a rewatch. I think it was marginally better than a 6 overall. So I'm going to do what you do, and I'm going to go with a 7 for B-movie as well.
That's interesting, because our memory score and rewatch score are the same.
I wonder if we've ever done that before.
We must have done, yeah.
You would have thought so.
Yeah, I'd hope so.
But actually, B-movie does pretty well. If you go through our list of movies and you think about the ones that we want to watch and the ones that we're not really keen on watching again, this probably wasn't one that we would have done very early on when we started doing the podcast. But having got there, I appreciate it. I really like it. So 7.
Yeah, I think I'm the same as that, yeah.
Do you have a one-word review of B-movie?
I want to use a pun, but I haven't thought that far in advance.
I was going to go with buzzing.
Nice. Do you know what? I'm just going to go with funny.
Funny is good. I'm going to stick with my pun. buzzing,
Yeah, I prefer
because
that.
if you're from a particular part of the UK, you'll know that that means excited and generally good, so
Yeah.
buzzing.
It
So we have to choose the movie for next week, and I believe it's my turn, yes.
is your turn, yeah.
Okay, so I have thought long and hard about this, and I think we're going to go back a little bit further than B movie in movie watching past. I wonder what you would have made of this when you saw it when it came to the movies. We are going to go next week with the 2003 spy action thriller, Johnny English.
Okay, cool. I've held off on watching this anyway, for this exact reason.
Okay, that's good.
Yeah.
So, yeah, you would have been quite young when we went to see this. It's not an obvious one. It's probably one
Yeah.
I dragged you to, as opposed to you dragging me.
True.
That was never a thing. You
No,
never dragged
no.
me. That always comes out wrong, but you know
I know
what I
what you
mean.
mean, yeah.
I'm going to go straight in and say that I give Johnny English from 2003 an 8 out of 10. I remember it as being very funny, quite comical. You're always going to get good value from Rowan Atkinson
Yeah.
being deadpan. So I'm going to go with 8 out of 10 for Johnny English. Let's see if that changes.
It's a good, strong score there. Patronizing.
Thanks very much.
Yeah, I think because I was so young when I watched this the first time, I think I kind of have to think about it from other rewatches, which defeats the object. But I do think I always enjoyed this film because it's. You know, it is spy. Spies are cool, to some extent. And it's comedy and it's Rowan Atkinson. And so I think I'm kind of the same. And I do see I've put this one off for the reason of doing it for the podcast, but also because I've seen it a lot. But because of that, I think I've left such a big gap that I'm interested in seeing if it's still quite as funny. But I think from memory, I think I'm going to go similar and say 7 out of 10.
Okay, good. Yeah, I everything you said, I would agree with. I wonder if it's as funny now as it was
Yeah,
20 years ago.
I've aged badly.
Anyway, it could have done. We will see and we will find out. And we will be back next week with our thoughts and opinions on the 2003 classic, Johnny English. Hey, you know, we always ask what day it is.
Yeah.
And then occasionally you think, oh, I'll ask Sam what day it is and it'll be super funny and there'll be something that we discover. Well, I wonder if today is not the appropriate to do that. It is the anniversary of the Hiroshima bomb drop.
Yeah, that's been on the news actually, yeah.
It's like 80 years ago. I mean, we timestamped the episode there, but
Wow.
as we often do.
Apparently it's Alexander Fleming's birthday.
It is Alexander Fleming's birthday today. What did he do?
I actually don't know. The little image is just like science equipment.
I thought it was going to be Alexander Graham Bell, the man who invented the telephone. You know, when the man invented the telephone,
Yeah.
who did he call?
Ghostbusters.
Of course.
Yeah,
Oh well, all that is left for us to say then is thanks very much for listening to the Benefit of Hindsight. You can get in touch with us via the email, the Benefit of Hindsight podcast at gmail.com. And we do like to receive your questions or any comments. We've had quite a number of emails asking us about Otterfest, and you can probably see that we're reluctant to reference it because we have nothing so far. But we are waiting on one thing. So hopefully that one thing will happen, and we'll let you know. We do have some Otter merchandising, which Sam is showing me. Oh, they're
yeah,
different colours.
I know. I didn't realize there were two different colors.
That's awesome. Okay, so we have some merchandise. Things are happening with Otterfest, but you'll just have to wait and see what that is. So thanks very much for listening. We'll be back again next week with Johnny English. All that's left for us then is to say goodbye. Thanks very much for listening. We'll be back next week with the 2003 classic movie Johnny English. And it's goodbye from me.
And goodbye from me.
Bye.
You like jazz? That's my
It's
other line.
a good line. Not really, though.
Yeah, I'm fond of it.
Really?
Yeah, I wouldn't go out of my way to listen to it though.
I've said this before. I think I could listen to it live, but I don't think I'd come home and put a record
Oh
on.
yeah. No, I agree with that completely. Yeah. That's a good point.
Goodbye.
Bye.
With the benefit. Of hindsight, we'll see, were the movies truly awful? Or did they change history?